unexpected miracles. When we pray for a miracle, we should trust God in how it comes to us. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, My father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather than when he saith to thee, Wash and be clean? We should, as the saying goes, expect a miracle. But we don't always know how it will happen or when it is coming or even what it will be. Naaman had high hopes and expectations that his leprosy would be miraculously cured. He was enraged then that the miracle might come in a less elaborate way than he expected, but his servants convinced him to accept the humble approach Elisha offered and be healed. With the psalmist, we pray that and praise God for the miracles that we've already received in life and that others have also received. The psalmist said to him, O Lord my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. Stuart Hamblin wrote in his hymn, It is no secret what God can do, what he's done for others, he'll do for you. The greatest miracles of the Bible come in response to the most humble requests. He touched me and made me whole, as Bill Gaither wrote in his hymn. Eventually, everything we do has results, for better or for worse. In our letter to, in Paul's letter to the Galatians in today's reading, it says in verse 9, And let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And that same verse reads this way in the Good News Translation. So let us not become tired of doing good, for if we do not give up, the time will come when we will reap the harvest. I think that's what Cole was talking about earlier in the service, wasn't it? Don't worry about it. Don't give up. And in the due season, we will reap the harvest. You'll get the results you need. Charles H. Gabriel wrote in his hymn, Send the Light, and he phrased it, Let us not grow weary in the work of love. And John Wesley was attributed with our famous saying we often repeat, Do all the good you can as long as ever you can. And this verse about sowing the seeds of kindness from the hymn by Knowles Shaw, Sowing in the sunshine, sowing in the shadows, fearing neither clouds nor winter's chilling breeze. By and by the harvest and the labor ended, we shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. Let's just plant the seeds and trust God for the unexpected miracles that come as a result. In the reading from Luke today, it said, Jesus said, here in the red letter edition, The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Conspicuously absent from these instructions, Jesus gave to his disciples when he sent them out was imposing their religious and political opinions, also known as beliefs. There were plenty of those kinds of groups that the other religious and political leaders were representing. They had the Sadducees and the Pharisees, the Essenes, Then there were the Roman government and the Greek government and all kinds of institutions and all kinds of opinions and laws and rules and ideas that people had. On and on with various expressions and traditions and opinions and beliefs. And there was then, as there is now, plenty to argue about. Jesus stood firmly against oppression, and he stood firmly against exclusion, and he stood firmly against injustice. Jesus stood even more firmly and without apology for inclusiveness and justice and forgiveness and mercy and love. We in the United Methodist Church have not grown weary in the work of love, but we have grown weary of the endless and futile arguments of those who, as Jesus said in Matthew 13, as it's phrased in the Good News Translation, lock the door to the kingdom of heaven in people's faces, but they themselves don't go in, nor do they allow in those who are trying to enter. We yearn to truly represent our long-standing United Methodist motto, open hearts, open minds, open doors. Our world today needs to be sincerely loved with unconditional love of Christ, now as much as ever. Jesus sent these 70 or 72, according to some translations, with this threefold mission. Offer them peace, heal the sick, and as phrased in the Message, tell them God's kingdom is right on your doorstep. Jesus sends us to offer peace. Peace, not argument. We proclaim our faith as we state our positions and share our ideas and beliefs, and we point to the resources and books and articles and other materials for more information. We gather like birds of a feather to study and learn together and share the work we believe in. But we don't argue with people who have different beliefs and practices or who have not yet come to realize that God is love. John Wesley sent Thomas Coke to America with these words, offer them Christ. Christ sends us to offer peace, true peace, peace that passeth understanding, the peace of Christ. Jesus sends us to heal the sick. In our three general rules, we say, do no harm, do good, and stay in love with God. We're sent to offer the wholeness and encouragement of Christ, to offer spiritual and temporal healing, each of us according to our gifts and graces and skills, to everyone according to whatever their hurts and brokenness may be and may require in the ministry of our spiritual gifts. Jesus sends us to tell them being everybody, to communicate it by word and deed, however we can, that the kingdom of God has come unto them. We extend the great invitation that Christ offered, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Jesus sends us to do the same as he did throughout his earthly ministry. As we say in our communion liturgy, he healed and taught and ate with sinners and won for you a new people by water and the Spirit. In the Great Commission, Matthew 28, Jesus sends us saying, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. And in Acts chapter 1, he sends us to be witnesses unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And in Matthew 16, in sending the apostles again and through them sending us, Jesus promises us that these kinds of signs shall follow us. All kinds of healing at every level as we preach the gospel to every creature. Communication of the gospel in an infinite variety of forms. Restoration and regeneration for all people as they respond to the invitation to Christian discipleship. Let us then be those who go from this place in communion with Christians around the world and to be the recipients and channels for unexpected miracles beyond our ability even to imagine. We share the mission statement of the United Methodist Church to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. In the name of Jesus, amen.